You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams.
On this week's installation of Eurovision, I spoke to our European correspondent, Cameron Adams, about the war in Ukraine, oil and gas supplies, and dinosaur bones. Here's that piece now. Can you give us an update on the war in Ukraine?
The International Atomic Energy Agency has called for the creation of a security zone around the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. The UN agency visited the plant on Friday to assess the site after Russian forces agreed to an inspection. The plant and its surroundings have been damaged by shelling during the war. Today, at a UN Security Council meeting, the IAEA director, Rafael Grossi, stated, quote, "We are playing with fire and something very, very catastrophic could take place." The widely announced Ukrainian counteroffensive in Kherson has begun. Details have still been light, with journalists banned from going to the front line and soldiers urged to not post on social media. It's been stated that it will be a slow and methodical campaign to first hamper Russian logistics and then try and push Russian forces out of the region. There are also now claims of a renewed Ukrainian counteroffensive in the region surrounding Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city in Ukraine's north.
And Russia has cut off its main gas pipeline with Europe. Why did they do it, and what's the response been?
Yeah, the main Russian gas pipeline into Europe, Nord Stream 1, was shut off again on Friday, causing gas prices to surge by 35%, according to Bloomberg. Russian gas giant Gazprom has claimed the closure is due to leaks and required maintenance. However, Russian spokesman Dmitry Peskov has since linked the closure with European sanctions, stating that, quote, problems with gas supply arose because of the sanctions imposed on our country by Western states, including Germany and Britain. So before the war, Russia typically supplied about 40% of Europe's natural gas. Europe's energy reliance on Russia is seen as one of the leveraging points Russia has against Europe in order to try and decrease its support for the war, or support for Ukraine in the war. With the closing of the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, that means Russian gas imports into Europe have dropped by almost 90%. So in July, the pipeline was shut for 10 days after planned maintenance. However, upon reopening, it was only pumping at 20% capacity. This shutdown caused the EU to announce a 15% gas reduction plan at the end of July, with countries also having gas stockpiling targets of 80% by the beginning of November. Since the reopening of the pipeline, member states were in a scramble to fill up gas before this winter deadline. However, last Wednesday, EU Energy Commissioner Kadri Simpson announced they had already reached the 80% target. I'd guess that this announcement, as well as a G7 price cap on Russian oil, also announced last week, is what really caused the closure, with Russia turning up the notch against the West. Ukraine's President Zelensky has accused Russia of waging an, quote, an overt gas war against a united Europe, with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz stating that Russia was no longer a reliable energy supplier. Germany has been particularly reliant on Russian gas, with 55% of its gas supplies coming from Russia before the war, which had since dropped to 35% before the pipeline closure. On Sunday, Olaf Scholz announced that Germany will spend at least 65 billion euros to shield customers and businesses from high energy costs. France has also announced an energy price cap on residential households until the end of the year. Italy and Spain are also trying to import more gas from Algeria. There are fears that energy shortages would have a dire effect on the economy and industrial output, as well as the risk of civil discontent. So there will be an emergency EU meeting of energy ministers on Friday, an EU-wide price cap on gas, temporary changes to energy market trading, windfall taxes, and an emergency gas allocation fund are all reported to be on the agenda, according to Politico. There are also discussions around decoupling electricity and gas prices, since these two are tightly linked. So while it's unclear just how far these proposals could go, it's expected that any measures agreed upon will be announced next Wednesday, along with the EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen's annual State of the European Union speech.
We've already spoken today about Liz Truss and her politics. How is her appointment viewed throughout Europe?
Yeah, I would say open optimism. However, I think behind the scenes, probably a realistic scepticism. So since initially being against Brexit, Liz Truss has rode the Eurosceptic train all the way to number 10. And continuing on from Boris Johnson, there are several points of conflict with the EU. So the main one being the scrapping of the Northern Ireland Protocol, which Liz Truss tabled as foreign secretary. The EU haven't already initiated legal proceedings against the UK after claiming this breaks its withdrawal agreement, with a response by the UK due on September 15th. There's also been talk of Truss invoking Article 16 of the deal, which would enable the UK to enact unilateral action if there were serious, if there were, quote, serious economic, societal or environmental difficulties that are liable to persist. As I've already previously discussed on the segment, there are ongoing disagreements between the UK and the EU over its lack of inclusion into European research programmes. The UK had agreed to pay £15 billion to be included in Horizon Europe and has since initiated legal proceedings against the EU after claiming it was being denied access. Liz Truss has expressed support for withdrawing from the European Convention of Human Rights if attempts to reform the European Court of Human Rights and Strasbourg are unsuccessful. This is after the court blocked the UK's extradition of asylum seekers to Rwanda earlier this year. The UK actually helped found this document when it co-founded the Council of Europe in 1950. There could also be conflict with the EU over potential changes to UK workers' rights, like increasing the working week. Truss has said she wants to reform labour laws in order to be, quote, more competitive. If it does happen and the International Labour Organization determines that these reforms are negative, the EU could then initiate a dispute over, quote, level playing field agreements, which are included in the Brexit deal. In terms of support for Ukraine, Liz Truss has been openly quite supportive, so I'd expect no change there. And lastly, on the personal front, I wouldn't be surprised if there's more gaffes. So 2 weeks ago during the leadership campaign, and while she was still foreign secretary, she intimated French President Emmanuel Macron could be a potential foe to the UK. So I think on the whole, the outlook in Europe is probably not good. And I wouldn't be surprised if in a year there's significant tariffs between the UK and the EU because of these points.
And finally, huge dinosaur remains were found in a garden in Portugal. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, researchers have found what they believe to be a brachiosaurid sauropod, which is one of those like classic big dinosaur, big long dinosaurs with a big body and a long neck. But it could potentially be Europe's largest skeletal find. So excavation work to build a residential back garden in the city of Pombal began in 2017. After workers found bones, they got in touch with the University of Lisbon. A short 5 years later, researchers began to excavate the site last month and have found bones which could indicate the dinosaur could be up to 12 metres high and 25 metres long. So excavation work will continue with researchers hoping to find more of the dinosaur.
That was Eurovision with our European correspondent Cameron Adams.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.